This is a Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Bort, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
In this podcast series, we are seeking kingdom keys for business, life, and work. What can unlock the fullness of life promised by God in our daily lives, on the work floor? Bill Job is my co-host. He is an experienced Business's Mission entrepreneur and had several businesses in China. He learned to align his work with God and saw God's tangible involvement. What keys did he discover? So we'll learn from Bill, but we also invite guests from around the world. What are their stories? How do they see God move? May these conversations inspire you to see God and to expect His involvement in your daily working life. Well, thank you for joining us today. Here we are today again, and we will have a talk with Bill, and we have Kitty, Bill's spouse. And it's just a privilege to meet you. It's for me the first time to meet you, and grateful that you are here on the podcast. Welcome, Kitty.
Thank you so much, Gaia. It is such a pleasure to be here and to be able to look at my beautiful husband and support him in his podcast venture. This is great what you two have done.
So you've been listening to our podcast?
No. No, I haven't. I should.
But you trust that we are doing a good job?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I pretty much know what this guy has to say. Yeah. But I don't always know what you have to say, Gaia, so.
So it's good to have you again, Bill.
Thank you, Gaia. It's great to be here.
So, Kitty, yeah, you know, we've had some wonderful fellowship already. You arrived yesterday. And so, yeah, we are curious. How has it been for you to go to China? And, you know, how long is that ago? And to go on this adventure together. How did you experience this time?
Well, this was the adventure of my life, absolutely. I could never have imagined that my life might turn out like this. But when I was young, I was fairly, I guess you could say, religious. And a group of women wanted me to join the clergy with them. And I thought, oh, wow. Okay. I have to think about that. But I can remember when actually my husband is the one who brought me to the Lord. And he said, what is it that is keeping you from giving God your whole life? And I said, to be honest, I'm just afraid he's going to make me a missionary to Africa. And I don't want to go to Africa. Little did I know that in the back of his mind, he was thinking, I wonder what she thinks about China. So, yeah, I mean, this is what I expected a life given over to Jesus Christ would be, you know, one of sacrifice and service and misery and, you know, difficulty. And it was so, so different.
But, you know, going to China, and it must not have been easy.
No. One of the good things that my husband did was 15 years before we actually went to China, he told me that he wanted to go to China and that he had felt a call from the Lord one day when he was visiting Hong Kong on R&R from the Navy and looking over at the new territories. He felt the Lord was saying, you're going to go there someday. And so after we finished all of our schooling, I thoroughly expected that we would be going. Oh, well, China was closed at the time because that was 1978. And I thought we would go to Hong Kong or maybe Taiwan or maybe even a church we'd been involved with in San Francisco. But he didn't send us there. We were married 13 years before we actually went to China.
And you had two young children, right?
We had two young girls, ages 6 and 8, when we first went.
So I think you expected, because here Bill had done seminary, you know, and he was in classical ministry. What did he do? And what did you expect to happen in China?
Well, all I knew was that we were going for a 2-year language program. And then after that, it was just sort of open, you know, whatever the Lord might bring. And we had seen him bring, you know, some opportunities just miraculously our way. And so we really didn't have a lot of doubt that he would guide, that he would lead us. So, you know, I was committed to the 2 years of language. And then after that, it was all up in the air.
So how was that at that time for you, Bill? I mean, we know, but when you now look back at Kitty's role, what did you see happening then?
I'm almost wondering if she didn't have more faith than I had. So just a couple of months after beginning the language program, then the laws changed and we had the chance to have a company. That's the first time that idea came onto our thinking. And it was totally different than what I supposed would happen, which was I thought we'd get a job with an American company that was in China. And so now we had at first some time to plan for our own business, but that quickly evaporated when the business license came back in 30 days, when they said it might take a year and a half. And so now we're launched and we're just scrambling to try to figure out what to do. So we moved our housing from the campus to a traditional Chinese neighborhood. We started hiring a few people and we just started that whole experience of understanding how business worked. We're totally unprepared for that from an experience.
So were you, what did you think of your husband? You know, you thought you would go as a missionary and now your husband is into business.
Well, I knew that we couldn't be traditional missionaries in China. This is called a closed access country. And so we wouldn't be allowed that. But we had been familiar with the idea of tent making. And this is where, you know, as Paul made tents on his missionary journey in order to be able to support himself and his entourage, you know, I thought, well, he would get a job probably in some foreign company. And then we would be like tent makers where, you know, the job is secondary, you know, but we're really there, you know, to minister to the Chinese. And boy, was I wrong. The Lord instead opened this business opportunity. And, you know, I've always told Bill, if I knew you were going to go there, you know, to start a business, I probably wouldn't have followed. But because I thought it was ministry, you know, oriented.
So yeah. What did you see? Because you worked for quite a few years also at the business, right?
I did. I worked for 12 years at the business at the behest of one of our customers, designers, partners. Yeah, he said, Kitty, we really need you. And the kids were still with us. So I didn't really want to leave them. So I was just part-time with the company at the beginning. But later on, we got involved with a wonderful marketing company in the United States.
What did you see ministry-wise happen in the business and on the work floor?
Well, because this was fairly new for foreigners, we were in a special economic zone. And so that's part of the reason we were able to go into business. It was called a WOFE, a wholly owned foreign investment enterprise. And that was very unusual because at first you would have to go as a joint venture. And, you know, so we were able to do this, but it was very closed. And we knew that there were, can I say, spies in the company? There were people surveilling us and making sure that we weren't doing anything untoward. And that was very limiting. And so I really felt at the time, Lord, why are you putting Bill on the back burner? And he has all these gifts and all these strengths and, you know, I would like him to see him exercise all of those things, you know, just to the fullest extent possible. And yet, no, the Lord said no. And he even told Bill at one point, I want you to manifest the gospel without a word.
While you saw him
his gifts. I mean, we've seen his gifts now here on the podcast and speaking, you know, in the Netherlands and abroad. And you've seen that gift developed over the years before you went to China. And here you are now seeing your husband just running a company, kind of.
As a businessman, which to a lot of missionaries is kind of a negative thing, you know. But actually, business was the perfect platform.
Why are you saying that, Kitty?
Because it gives you a chance to just be completely transparent before the workers. And if you are really and truly a believer in Jesus Christ and you believe in the things that he said, the tenets that he had, to treat other people as you would want to be treated yourself, and to treat others honestly. This was a totally new concept. We had a general manager come up to us one time and say, "Boss, you're going to tell people the truth? No one in China does this." And he said, "But in our company, we're going to tell the truth. And we're going to be honest with people. And we're not going to say, oh, no problem, no problem, when there might be a problem. You know, we want to be open and transparent." And they saw all of that. And I think it had an impact.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, Bill? We know these stories from you. So it's kind of...
Yeah, you've heard these stories.
It's just encouraging, you know, to have this different, the same story, but from a different perspective. And how would you encourage women? You know, we talked about this before the podcast. You know, I'm more the kind of entrepreneurial, you know, I can identify with those who are saying, hey, I go out there as a woman. And then there are others, or there are other faces in our lives, because I very much enjoyed the time, not always enjoyed, but really appreciate the time to be with the kids and to support them. How would you encourage both the man listening, or the entrepreneurial leadership type, and the person, you know, supporting? How did you see your role? How did you embrace that?
Yes, well, I have a background in music, so I didn't see myself as a businesswoman necessarily, but I felt like I had pretty good communication skills, and I was detail-oriented, according to one of the managers. And so they wanted me to concentrate on customer service, especially with the American customers, the people who spoke English better than the other folks in the office. And so I was able to fulfill that role for 12 years. Not the whole time, because Bill's been over there 37 years.
How do you, because one of the reasons we, you know, we said, hey, let's do this podcast, the three of us. Mm-hmm. What do you see as an important in a husband-wife situation, being overseas, or maybe, you know, just being within this BAM space, businesses mission, seeing your business as a ministry? Where do you see the strength, the maybe the pitfalls? What would you want to say to this other entrepreneurs, as an entrepreneur yourself, right, looking back?
I think now it's going to be easier for people to consider that, because we have stories, we have examples of all over the world that God is raising this up. And so people don't have to use their imagination as much as they used to. But we were sort of on that first round, and nobody had done this before that we knew of. And so Kitty's flexibility was very important, because I'm now shifting as we landed over there. Even since we landed, the plan is changing drastically. And she was willing to flex with that. So instead of working for an American company that would have been stable and financially good and, you know, had a lot of benefits, now I'm saying, no, let's start something from scratch. And we've never done that before in another country. And nobody thinks it's a good idea. And so I'm just looking at her and thinking back on those years and realizing she was just an incredible advantage, benefit to me, helper, by being willing to let me go down this path. And I didn't know where we were going, frankly, half the time. It's like, when you follow the Lord, sometimes you get the day-by-day things. We're where we belong today. I think I know what we need to do tomorrow. I don't know anything past tomorrow, you know, but I'm going with it because we have history, and I think this thing, it works, but it takes lots of faith and lots of courage. I remember.
And lots of prayer.
Yeah.
Lots of prayer.
And so Kitty hosted, one of her jobs was hosting a weekly prayer time in the house. And she is detailed oriented, as she said. So she became the prayer secretary. And so she would take these little notebooks and she would write out a prayer request when she heard one and draw a line under it, horizontal line, and then draw and write out the next request and draw a line under it. And like every time we got together, maybe there's 5, 6, or 8 requests. But then she would go back, and when the prayer was answered, she would draw a diagonal line through it. And you could easily see, okay, that prayer is done now. It's been answered. I came across 6 notebooks that she had filled. Every single prayer request had been answered. And I'm just thinking, what an amazing testimony that was, that she had actually done that and kept up with it. But another thing that was really valuable was, this was a family event, so to speak. Everybody was involved in it. The kids would go to work. I remember one of our daughters taught the tea lady how to write her name. She was illiterate, and so she was there. They became friends, and so it was easy, I think, for the workers to like the kids when they could get in on the weekend and that sort of thing. But we also found out later on by talking to the kids that it was our dinner time conversations that helped shape their understanding of what does it mean to be a believer. And it was because we were experiencing Jesus at work and then talking about it at the dinner table. And that had become enough of a kind of an experience or tradition that really helped them shape their understanding of who he is and mm-hmm. how you relate to it. So Kitty hosted that, so to speak. I mean, she welcomed that and participant. But then as she knew the people, she came home with her stories as well. And so I think it was a wonderful element of the family discovering really what the kingdom was like, because we would never have had that sort of experience, I'm convinced, if we'd stayed in the U.S.
Well, I can kind of identify, you know, we were 9 years on the ship and our kids grew up, you know, till they were, we left the ship when the eldest was 12 and the youngest 7. But it's so much part of their lives, you know, these experiences and experiencing God's faithfulness
right.
and answering prayers.
One thing I wanted to add about answers to prayer, I just felt I needed to share that with the people in the company, whether they profess to be a Christian or not. When God answered prayer, I would point that out to them and say, do you see that? We prayed for this and God answered. And they're like, oh, yeah. And we need to thank him. You know, I always felt that that was really an important thing. So I would bring this out on a regular basis. And I think that hopefully contributed, you know, to the atmosphere there. There's just so many opportunities that you don't realize with business as mission, you know, rather than the tent making idea, you know.
Rather than the tent-making idea.
The tent-making idea, because you're under an authority, right? And if your authority says you can't proselytize or talk about God during your work hours, you know, that you need to do your job and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's what you need to do. And then the idea would be that in your off life, you know, you can give that to God and you can minister to people. But, you know, but if you have your own company, the opportunities were amazing. I feel like it was a window in time and we had 30 years of it. And it was so amazing. We had a little choir there at the company and we had prayer meetings at the company. At first, no, Bill stepped into a room, closed all the shades and the door and prayed with one man and got that man into big time trouble at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he sort of cried out to the Lord, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said, shut up. Don't talk it, live it.
Kitty, you know, I just asked this question also to Bill. Do you have some advice, you know, to couples to who are doing this? What are some of the lessons you learned over the years?
Well, I think I have a fairly strong personality. And as the oldest of seven kids, my brothers called me Sarge.
Sergeant.
So, right. And so, you know, I'm not one, you know, to be a doormat or anything. But the more I read the scripture and the more I saw that, you know, we are a team, we're a partnership, we are equal heirs to the grace of God. But there's really only one head that is making the decisions. And so there were some critical times in our history where I could have stood up as Sarge and said, no, you're not going to do that. And yet I knew the scripture said I am not supposed to do that. You know, I had we had a lovely couple that had come to our company as consultants. And we were at a crossroads again, and Bill had the opportunity to rent this huge facility and hire many, many people. And these people were telling us, especially the husband, not to do it. And when Bill said, I think the Lord wants me to do that, he came to me and tried to get me to turn Bill. And I just said, you know, I really feel that the Lord is leading through Bill. You know, I can give my opinion. I can, you know, express all the different points, you know, which you were telling us that make a lot of sense. But I am not Bill's personal Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is guiding him. And the Holy Spirit is guiding me. And I just had to say, I have to rely on my husband to make this decision.
Mm-hmm.
So don't try to go through me, in other words.
Yeah, so respecting each other's call.
Role, yeah.
And role, and, you know, Bill in the role of leading the company also, to respect him in that and to not try to be kind of the Holy Spirit guiding him. And
right.
Is that what you would want to convey? Is that also what you, or how did you experience this?
Those are really interesting days. This is a wonderful topic. But on this particular event, when I felt like we're supposed to just expand the company rapidly from 20 to 150 workers in 6 weeks, and the consultant had turned around six companies that had failed. He really knew what he was talking about.
He was an expert.
I really had a ton of respect for him. But I also was experiencing this cross-pollination between the kingdom and best practices. So I would say he's coming at this from a best practices point of view. And that's great if you don't have anything else to evaluate. But I also had this sense of, at the same time, if I was reasonable, I wouldn't do this. But I'm being hugged in the direction by the Lord for another purpose. And so we found out that the location that we moved to was just 20 yards from the oldest temple in the city. And there was a spiritual component to why the Lord wanted us to go there that wasn't on my radar, wasn't on that guy's radar. And so you really do have to have a kind of confidence. And I went back to the Lord maybe a dozen times. And I said things like, Lord, this consultant doesn't think you're very good or smart. He doesn't think your idea is going to work. And nobody thinks your idea is going to work. I don't think your idea is going to work. What should we do? Oh, do it. Okay, I got it, you know. So I went back and reconfirmed many times before we pulled the trigger on it. And it was incredibly successful, you know, when we did it. But it was against all odds. So Kitty was willing to let me explore this role of discerning the Lord's voice in the midst of competing opposite opinions. And I didn't want to ever be arrogant and say, well, I know what I know, and you just need to leave me alone. It wasn't like that. It was like, Lord, they don't think your ideas are very good. And that happened a lot. And so if you go back to him and you're not demanding, you just say, I just need to know that what I think you heard, what I think I heard from you 2 days ago is this, is that still correct? And you get reconfirmation 4 or 5 times. And then I think you have to have courage and go with it. And maybe you're wrong, but you'll learn from it. I just think it's, the whole thing was more of an adventure. And looking back on it, it looks like I knew what I was doing, but I was never 100% positive on anything. I think you get to be 80, 90% positive, and then faith is the filler.
Yeah. He's going to take some step. Faith.
Yeah. And Kitty was willing to put up with that. And I think I got it right about 5% of the time. I still think I missed it about 95% of the time. But I remember coming in one day and surprising her and some friends because they were having a prayer meeting to kill the business.
Nah. And we were praying. We said, Lord, this is not looking good. It looks like we're going to go down. But we don't want to go down in a way that will bring dishonor to your name. So, Lord, if you're going to allow this to happen, would please guide us, lead us, help us to know, what to do, how to close this company in a God-honoring way. Mm-hmm. We weren't praying that he'd close the company.
Well, the phrase, though, if this
but it
isn't
looked inevitable.
Yeah, if this isn't your will to keep it open, close it quickly was what I remember.
Yes. And if it's your will, close it quickly.
So I asked, well, what's the problem now? And payday was 2 or 3 days away. We were down to what, 20 cents or 10 cents?
Oh, personally, yeah, not in the company, but personally, I had enough money to buy tofu, an excellent source of protein. And so, yeah, we had tofu that night. And yeah, it was scary.
Yeah.
But the Lord provided in an amazing way through a former friend from, another student in the university who sent us money in China. How did they do that? I don't know how they did it, but the Lord brought us through every time.
What I hear from you is trusting that God would speak to Bill and that's
right. Not trusting Bill. But trusting the Lord, putting my full trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe that is the message for our listeners,
or
the encouragement.
Yeah.
To say, and hey, you're not trusting your husband, but you trust the Lord.
Absolutely. And there are other women out there who have a much broader background than I had. And, have much more potential in the business world than I would ever have. And, but the message is the same. The Lord God Almighty is your head. And he's your leader. He's your guide. And, like it said in Joshua chapter 1, I told this to my daughter who was petrified to go off to boarding school. Be strong and very courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's it. That's the message. Mm-hmm. So go to him. And we did time again. He was so faithful to us.
Well, we hear kind of a Job sound here. Well, thank you for sharing with us. And thank you for your perspective and encouraging each one of us to say, hey, God is faithful, and develop this relationship with him. And your life might not be easy, but not miserable.
That's kind of a given.
That's a given.
Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. We had to share this with our Chinese managers and workers. Because they're like, if this is God's company, how come we're having such a struggle? In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, that's a huge statement. Jesus said that.
Well, Mr. Job.
Yes.
That's something in closing you want to say.
I just want to publicly thank Kitty for all that she went through.
Oh.
Because it wasn't easy. I know. And I didn't know where we were going most of the time. But now we look back and we see that where the journey took us and what was done, what was accomplished in so many people's lives. And just thank you that you were willing to take that journey with me. Otherwise, it would not have happened.
Oh, you guys, we are having here a romantic moment.
Is that kind of a rare thing on this podcast?
Well, it's been a joy, and a joy to have you, get to know you, and thank you for being willing again to step out in this not so comfortable behind mic, you know. That's a new experience, Kitty.
It is. It's a totally new experience for me.
Well, I think you did a good job.
Excuse my non-professionalism.
You are this sergeant thing. We still hear it, right?
I'm a little worried about my position now. I think she might outcompete me for my role.
Are you crazy?
Well, listeners, I think you enjoyed this time also with us, and see you in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you, Gail.
This was Gea Goort from the Netherlands. Remember to visit bamoose.com and check out the course on Kingdom Mindsets for Business, Life and Work. And in 2 weeks' time, we will be back with another episode. Follow us in your favorite podcast app so you won't miss the next one.